Okay, magandang umaga pong muli sa lahat. Good morning to all, and let me just make clear that I'm not yet done with our major series on Christian holiness that will continue in February, but I'd like to take this opportunity that we are preparing for our annual meeting. Among others, we shall be discussing the budget of the church. This is the time of the year when we do have some emphasis on the matter of giving. And I want to underscore that that is the only time of the year that we do have such an emphasis. We do not hammer out the theme of giving in our church, believing as I do, which is our lesson this morning, that giving is worship. It is not something that need to be hammered out again and again. And my ears grate whenever I hear a preacher whose application always has something to do with giving. I've stuck under that ministry, and I can tell you that is inimical to the spirit of the gospel. But we do have time because this is biblical teaching after all. We are not dealing with something which is an invention of man. There are rich biblical teachings concerning giving, and that is why every year we do have different emphasis and angles of approach in this subject. For this year's emphasis, we are going back to the basics, meaning to the very foundation of how we understand giving, the way we give in our church offertory. While it is part of the service of many churches today, they have lost the sense of what it is they are doing and why it is they are doing their offertory. And so these two principles, I hope, will remind us of the basics of giving, first as worship this morning, and then next week, God willing, we will look at giving as service. So the first thing then is giving as worship, as we now are into our budgeting period again. I think it is a responsible thing to do. In fact, I'm going to say something about that. The Bible does tell us that at the beginning of the year, it is a fact or an observation that at the beginning of the year, we address the issue of giving, but it is not a constant theme in the discourse of the pulpit. I hope you could agree on that. So what we are doing is looking at this principle. If you do not have this as the reason for your giving, there will always be something remiss in the way you give, not only in the manner, not even letting alone the issue of amount. That is not something that has concerned us very much. But the manner and the attitude, the motive for giving will be remiss when we do not have the subject of worship as defining of our giving. So there are four things that we shall be considering in this lesson. First is budgeting of the church, all about the subject of budgeting. Then in terms of some of the inadequate notions that we need to expose in order to see how contradictory those are to the principle that giving is worship, we will look at the false motives. How can we give? We may be acting out the duty of giving, but we may be failing in the motive. And worship primarily begins with the heart. Remember what Jesus said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. So motive is an important and essential element in worship and therefore also in giving. And then the question that we should ask, if giving is truly worship, how is that so? How do we worship in giving? So those are the four issues we shall be considering very quickly in our first instance then is budgeting in the church. Why do we budget? Ba't tayo nagba-budget? Why do we have to spend time and our deacons have to meet and regularly every beginning of the year in order to propose to the church a rather complicated budget not nearly as complicated as the government's budget, but still somewhat complicated. Well, let me first say that budgeting is not a mandate for the church, but it is a responsible way of planning. If somebody challenges me to show in the scripture that we must do budgeting, I will not accept the challenge because there is none. There is nothing in the Bible that tells the church it must do budgeting. You see, many mandates are just principles or commands that have to do with what the church is about. But those mandates have procedures, and procedures are fluid. The mandate is that the church must be financed by the giving of the members. Now, that much I can show you many passages. I will not try to do so, but that is the mandate. The mandate is for the members of the church to finance the ministries of the church through their giving. But the procedure, meaning how that is done, that is fluid. There is no mandate for the procedure, but I do believe that budgeting is a responsible way of planning. Without financial planning, the church can become random in its money matters. In other words, if it's not planned, well, you know the adage, I'm sure, he who fails to plan is planning to fail. And you will fail, we will fail as a church in the use of money. Without knowing it, we are falling short of our target. We are spending too much on something that will not really focus on the priorities of the church. We can go wrong in many ways without a responsible budget. We go wrong on priorities. We go wrong on expenses. We go wrong on reporting and many other things if we do not have responsible budgeting. So there is something to be said for budgeting, not as a mandate, but as a responsible way of planning. Then finances in the church can easily descend into business-mindedness. And I've seen this happen in churches. They are thinking in terms of a business enterprise, thinking of proceeds, thinking of profit, thinking of what to undertake that will make it profitable for the church in a financial way. And that to me is very wrong, crooked, in fact, kind of thinking. So we do not want that to happen. And many times, again, without that solid unity of the church in budgeting, finances can often become the cause of disunity in the church. There have been churches that split on the cost of finances. And that is a very bad testimony to the world when the church is not united in a matter that we know is a cause of disunity in the world but should not be in the church. Therefore, the main reminder here as far as budgeting is concerned is that church finances reflect the worship of members. So how do we make use of the substance that the Lord has given to us so that we can truly worship Him? So giving is worship, is what we want to emphasize and refresh our thoughts in as we prepare for the budgeting of the church. As we budget, let us make ourselves mindful of this principle that when we give, that act of giving is worship. Then in the second place, consider the inadequate notions of giving. If giving is worship, then there are some notions that are ordinarily held today that will not hold water when it comes to its practice in the church. The first of this is when we consider our giving simply as a matter of historical tradition. It's the way it has been done. Ganun na noon pa, even in the past. And so we are just continuing the practice because that's the way it's been done. And this is something which may propel us to give and may drive us to the work of giving, but we are not doing so in a worshipful way. Historical tradition is good. I'm a teacher of Christian history in Grace Ministerial Academy, so I know about history and I know the place of history as good in one's theology, but if we do something only because it's been done by others in the past, that is not an act of worship. In the act of worship, we know that giving has a long tradition, but it goes back to the Old Testament, not just history. It goes back to the Old Testament, but giving as worship must possess the freshness of spirit. In other words, you are giving just like you are worshiping as a fresh activity. You are doing it now, regardless of how it's been done in the past, regardless of what others have done in history. You are now face to face with God in worship, and you must give as a fresh activity of worship to God. That is what we are emphasizing when we say this is a wrong notion. History is not wrong. Tradition as such is not wrong. When they contradict the word of God, then they are on the wrong side. But history and tradition, they are helpful arms to theology, but they are not the notion that should propel us in giving. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So there in the moment of worship, you are going to give as an act of worship because it is there. It is the freshness of that activity that makes it what worship that it is. So there is no spirit of worship where it is done as a sheer force of habit. That's what we're trying to avoid. The notion of doing the giving as habit. But if it is just habit, I'm sorry to say, even in other activities of worship, we pray, and when we pray merely as a habit rather than as a one-on-one communication with God or a church-to-God communication, if it is just the force of habit, then something is wrong. So worship should not be by sheer force of habit. So giving must not be by sheer force of habit, as the verse says, with cheerfulness. May kagalakan. So, another inadequate notion of giving is the thought of many that this is for ministerial compensation. Now, I say inadequate, not wrong. There is a truth to the fact that we give because we appreciate the ministry of the word, and it has a place in our consideration for giving. So that is not wrong. The Bible tells us that church finances must reckon with ministerial support. The Bible is clear on that. Giving us worship, however, must be as response to the word. You are not thinking of the pastor owes me something because I gave a lot in the offering, malaki binigay ko, may kung ganitong sweldo ng pastor, baka ganitong percent yung nakukuha niya sa akin. That is very wrong thinking. The Bible tells us in Galatians 6 and verse 6, the one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. That's just basic principle that you see practiced in other areas of vocation, and in the case of the church, it is done because the worship of the church is centered around the word. This is a Reformed distinctive of worship. We do not worship with the sacraments as the center, or with rituals, or with liturgy. The worship in Reformed distinctive is around the word of God. So we are most worshipful when we are profiting from the word of God, when we are responding to the word of God. And one such response, you may think that your response to the word is only as you hear and only as you apply. Of course, that is the main thing. But one response to the word over the long haul is the practice of giving. I appreciate the word that I profit from, so I express my appreciation by way of giving. So finances, we must observe, are often used to pressure ministers to be men pleasers. I am very happy that we have deacons who know their function, biblically defined, which is to oversee matters of temporary concerns in the church and also to free the ministry from those temporary concerns so that they can focus upon the ministry of the word and prayer. That's what we have in the origin of the diaconate in Acts chapter 6. So, but however, I do know situations in other churches where the deacons act like members of as board of directors who determine the salary of the pastor, and they pressure the pastor to toe the line of their agenda as far as the pulpit is concerned. I can tell you that that has not happened in this church in 41 years of my ministry, and it's not about to happen. I hope never will happen, whether under my watch or someone else's. That should never happen, because the giving of the church, while it has a place of reckoning with support of the ministry, it is not used to pressure the minister of the word. And then there is the third inadequate notion. Really, this is more or less the erroneous idea of religious donation. You know, you have your donation in charitable institutions, and then you think of the church as one other charitable institution where you donate, and you feel good when you make a donation, and that is simply wrong. Now, again, there is some truth to the fact that religious causes are sustained by generous giving and sharing, and that is also true of the church. Ministries will not be operating without the finances of the church. And through the years, the Lord has been faithful, as the Lord has given us the grace of faithful giving. Ministries were operating through generous giving. So again, there is some truth to this, but the idea that this is something of an addition to God, as though God is in a mendicant posture, parang namamalimos, that certainly is wrong. Giving is instrumental. And just as we delight in becoming God's instrument for His kingdom, it's not that His kingdom is in any danger unless we do our part, because God can call someone else. Remember Elijah, I'm the only one remaining. You better take care of me. And God told him, no, I have 7,000 I've spared. So that must be very humbling to Elijah. Only one of 7,000. And God is telling us, when it comes to giving, don't look at your giving as the indispensable percentage of the church. That certainly is carnal notion. It is not an addition to God. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 66 that the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? Where is the place of my rest? No, it's not wrong to have the house. In fact, God has mandated to have a house dedicated to His name, the temple. But He was correcting here the attitude that because they have built Him a house, that therefore God is obligated to them, as though literally God needed a house to be His shelter. That's pagan notion. Not true of the Old Testament faith. The house is instrumental so that the people may have a place to worship God, to offer their sacrifices, but they are never addition to God. So beware that giving, because giving has been historically used for a false notion of merit. You may be familiar what spawned the Reformation, at least in the immediate context, what spawned the Reformation that led the Augustinian monk Martin Luther to nail the 95 theses was the indulgences that Johann Tetzel, the Dutch seller of indulgences, going around when he approached the town of Martin Luther in Wittenberg, some of the members of his church were crossing the river to buy indulgences that promised that if they bought those indulgences, the souls of their relatives from purgatory will be freed. And back in those days, they took seriously their responsibility for their relatives in purgatory. Well, in the first place, we do not believe in purgatory, but in the second place, we do not believe that giving adds merit to anything, not to the giver, not to the receiver, not to the church. So they are not earning treasuries of merits. So we must correct that kind of notion. The third point that we must see, if giving is worship, then watch against false motives. Yung nakita natin kanina, notions, how to understand giving motives is why we give. And there are just two that I want to stress. First is the idea of divine reciprocation. Meaning, if I give, God is either obligated or pledged to reciprocate what I give. And since God is richer than I am, His reciprocation is much richer than what I give. And I have heard this kind of motive encouraged by many in the pulpit. The prosperity teaching that is very popular today in many circles that teach that it is God's will for everyone to prosper as long as, and the conditions include generous giving to a person's ministry or to a particular group, and they encourage this kind of mercenary spirit of giving in order that one may receive more. Now, they may use some texts. Many of them are abuse texts from the Old Testament, a few in the New Testament, but they fail to make the distinction between God's kindness of out of His pleasure and grace to honor those who honor Him, and that includes giving, but that must not be your motive. That is a promise which is in order for us to acknowledge the kindness of God. In other words, I give because God has already given me so much, and yet even as I give, God still gives more because He is so kind. That leads me to worship Him more rather than give, because if I give, then God is obligated to give back. That's not the right spirit. Giving is responsive to what God has already done, His graciousness. This is clear in Psalm 116 in verse 12. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits to me? So it's the benefits of God that come first. Then in verse 14, I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. So the giving is in return to what God has already given in graciousness, in His benefits. So that motive of giving in order to receive divine reciprocation must be corrected, must be challenged. Mercenary motive contradicts gratitude. I mean, if it is mercenary, a mercenary is someone who goes to someone else's war, but he is paid handsomely. And that is never the motive for giving. Gratitude is an essential ingredient of worship. But how can you be filled with gratitude if you are giving with a mercenary spirit? You must give with a thankful spirit because God has already given you so much. Then there is that other motive of compelled participation. compelled participation, it's practice in the church, and you may be in a church, not in this church, but in some churches, the giving is monitored, and if you are not giving as much as is expected of you, you get a visit from one of their ministers, and that will not be pleasant. So, you better give, and that is a compelled participation, and that again is contrary to worship. There must be, sometimes that compulsion is because of conscience. Now, that is not wrong totally, but to simply give, because nakokonsensya ka, mabigat sa konsensya pag hindi ka nakapagbigay, so you give out of compelled conscience, that is not honoring the Lord. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your substance. In other words, you have the substance that the Lord has given to you. Now you want to honor Him. And you do not honor Him when you are simply compelled by conscience or external compulsion of company. Eh, nakikita mo yung iba, nagsisipagbigayan. So, mapipilitan ka na rin. And that is not a right motive of worship. Again, going to back to 2 Corinthians 9. Paul instructs, so I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you had promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. So Paul does not want any grudging giving. Grudging giving means that you are giving not willingly, but only out of compulsion. Compulsion because of the company, the expectations of others. Now, willingness is the opposite of compulsion as motive for giving. So when you do it willingly, then that is the way to mortify compulsion as a motive for giving. I remember in our study of mortification, the way to mortify anything sinful is not just to stop it, but to replace it. So replace it with willingness, and Paul advises them to think about what they are going to give, and in order that they may give it with willingness already prepared. And that's a false motive of giving when we are doing so as a compelled participation. Which brings me to my last point. If giving is worship, how do we worship in giving? Well, first, I already said it is an expression of gratitude. And gratitude is part of worship. You cannot worship unless you are filled with thanksgiving. And many times, praise and thanks are put together in expressions of worship. And when Apostle Paul spoke of how God is known to all the world in Romans 1:20, the first two things he noted, that even though they know God, they did not glorify Him as God, that is, they did not praise Him or honor Him, nor were they thankful. So before he went to the sins of their immorality, their idolatry, and the decadent lifestyle of the pagan world, just these first two sins are enough to condemn all humanity for failing to glorify God and for failing to thank God. So that is a question that we need to ask. Are we giving thankfully? Thankfulness is an essential component of worship together with praise. Psalm 145 and verse 2, every day I will thank you and praise your name forever and ever. So thanksgiving and praise go together. And therefore you cannot worship if there is no thanksgiving. Gratitude to God is concretely expressed in giving. Of course, we thank God verbally. We thank God through singing and through praising. We thank God in prayer. But don't forget that the concrete form of the thanksgiving we express is when we give. When you do all those other things I've said, you say your thanksgiving, you join the singing, you pray, but then nothing to give, then you are not concretely expressing that you are thankful to God. And no matter how you protest that your heart is thankful to God, but no concrete expression, then something is wrong with that. So the Apostle Paul uses worship language when he was thankful to the gifts sent to him by the Philippian church through Epaphroditus. He said, I've received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent. Now take note what he says. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. This is Old Testament language Paul adopts in the New Testament. There is still sacrifice in the New Testament church, no longer animals. But one of the ways is we worship him, and through our gifts and giving, it's a sacrifice. It's a worship with a fragrant aroma before God. That is part of our worship. So that's the question to ask. Stinginess, yung pagkamaramot, stinginess in giving does not cohabit with gratitude in one's soul. Hindi yan maring manahan ng sabay sa isang kaluluwa na sa isang panig ay mapagpasalamat siya, pero sa kabilang panig ay maramot siya. Hindi pwede. Kung ikaw ay mapagpasalamat, magiging mapagbigay ka. You cannot be both stingy and thankful because one will drive away the other. Stinginess will drive away gratitude. A stingy person is always complaining if he has to give away money. Gastos na naman. And maaaring gumamit siya ng pera kapag merong immediate profit sa kanya. Pero kapag wala, ay ayaw niya magbigay. That's stinginess. And that drives away gratitude. And on the other hand, if you are grateful, that drives away stinginess. You will become generous and liberal when you give, which is part of worship. It is also worship because it is an exercise of obedience. Now, here is the challenge why we believe in the kind of worship that only uses or only obeys what is commanded. This is called the kind of worship that is regulative. We are not indulging what we want to do in worship for as long as we could say, this is for God. I'm going to give a special number because this is for God. I'm going to dance because this is for God. I'm going to do this rap because this is for God. And everything is excused today by simply having that catch basin, this is for God. But that is not worship. Worship in the scriptures always has the attachment of principle. It must be commanded by God. If it is not commanded by God, do not do it in worship. So here is one, obedience. Is it commanded by God? It is commanded by God. It's not our purpose now to go through those commands, but you are well taught enough to know that this act of giving in the church is commanded by God. Therefore, it is part of worship because it is commanded for an exercise of obedience. So give, or one aspect of obedience in worship is giving as one is blessed, as we read in our passage a while ago. Therefore, our giving is proportioned, meaning how God has blessed you. If you have been blessed much and you give little, then that is not honoring to the Lord. Remember the parable of the widow's mite. A mite is just a little half of the smallest unit of the currency of that period. And that's all that the widow could give. And what did Jesus say? She gave more than those rich men who gave their extras. Now, in absolute terms, of course, the rich men gave more. But you see, the principle here is proportion. What God reckons with is proportion. How you have been blessed. If you have been blessed much and give little, that's not proportioned. So that is what scriptures say. In 2 Corinthians 8:5, this is about Macedonia. Macedonia was exempted by the emperor of Rome for some years from taxation because of its poverty. And that's what Paul said of the Macedonian church. And yet, Paul says of them in commendation, they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. And then they gave. In other words, Paul was already reluctant to accept their gift. But it was they who insisted that their gift be accepted despite their poverty. So if you have those two cases, the widow's mite and the Macedonian church of 2 Corinthians 8, even poverty is not an excuse. Kahit yung pagkaruka, hindi katwiran na huwag tayo magbigay. Dahil tayo ay sumasamba, at kung tayo ay mananamba, magiging masunurin tayo sa Panginoon. So the church must not mandate or monitor the amount of giving by members. Precisely because it is they who must decide how to, what to give, how much to give. It is not the church to decide. O ikaw, ganitong salary mo, tingnan natin ang gross, ganitong ibibigay mo. Eh, may mga churches na gumagawa niyan, and that to me is just coming in between God and the worshiper. It must be decided between God and the worshiper. So, exercise of obedience, and then finally, as an extension of primacy. Of all mandates of the church, that which holds primacy is worship. We have other mandates which we take seriously, like mission, our evangelism, our fellowship, and others, benevolence. All those have their place, and we give due importance to them. But of all the mandates of the church, the one that is face to face with God is worship. That's why it must be given primacy. And therefore, your giving as an act of worship, you must think of your giving, the part that you give, as a primary part of your budgeting, personal budgeting. How much do I give to God? Yung sa iba kasi, last consideration. Oh, I have my budget for the food, budget for this, tuition of my children, budget for this and that, and the little that I have. Oh, wait a minute. I need to watch basketball. It's finals this day, so I still have to allot something for that. Now, after all those are considered, then he begins to think of, what shall I give in the church? That's not worship. Worship being primary, so giving must have primacy. Worship holds the place of primacy in Christian and church duties. Therefore, giving must be a deliberate decision that is well thought of. The word for this is sacrificial. Remember in Malachi, how God said in Malachi 1:14, they are chips because they give to me that which is blemished. Ibig sabihin, siguro bigla na lang silang kumuha ng kung anong sa kanilang kawan, hindi pinili, hindi sinuyod kung ano ang unblemished, or they want the unblemished for their own party, and that is not worship. So it must be well thought of. Pinag-iisipan. It must be sacrificial, not on the spot. Kung anong makapa, yun ang ibibigay. Hindi pwede ang ganong klase ng pagbibigay. The Bible says, do not neglect. And the very fact that it begins this way means that there is the vulnerability to neglect. That people may come to worship having thought of what they must do in terms of they may know the announced message, they may have read the scripture passage and all that, but they have not thought about the giving. And the writer of Hebrews says, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have. For such sacrifices, again, worship language, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. So I mortify the practice of impulsive giving. Think about it. Or on-the-spot decision. Makakapa ka ng kung anong makapa sa bulsa o sa pitaka. That's not worshipful giving. Worshipful giving must be deliberate, sort of reflecting the primacy of worship. So, with those thoughts, let me just refresh you again that when we give, as we prepare for the budget this year, let your giving be an act of worship. Any question? Any thoughts or maybe testimony in the matter of giving, how you do it, that would be appreciated. Brother Ferdy.
Pastor, ang akin pong tanong ay, masasabi po ba natin na ang pagbibigay ay biyaya lang din po ng Diyos sa atin. Parang sinabi sa gaya na sinabi sa 1 John 4:10 na we love because God first loved us. Ngayon kung ito po'y biyaya lang, dapat talaga magbusog sa atin 'to ng pagpapasalamat kay sa halik na parang pagmamalaki nakakapagbigay tayo. Thank you.
Yes, just like we speak of the grace of love, the grace of hope, the grace of faith. Remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9, grow in this grace also. So they were growing in other graces, but as he gives them instruction about giving, he tells them to grow in this grace also. So giving is a grace. So, therefore, nothing to boast about. Kaya hindi pwede magsama yung biyaya pagkatapos paghahambog. You cannot be both giving as worship and then be boasting about your giving. Unfortunately, those who give out of merit or in consideration of merit or in hope of reciprocation, they will not think of giving as a grace. Other thoughts or questions? Or your own testimony concerning giving, not in the sense that you're boasting about it, but rather as you struggled with the issue, how you managed to make giving a practice in your life and what had been the blessing. Ian? Mayroon sa online?
Forwarded question po. Is it a form for distrust in the Lord to budget or plan? Shouldn't we trust that He will provide enough for our needs?
Okay, you remove your mask.
Is it a form for distrust in the Lord to budget or plan? Shouldn't we trust that He will provide enough for our needs?
There's no either or there. When you budget and then you trust the Lord to provide, It can be done so irresponsibly where the person is budgeting for unrealistic matters that he may not have the money for nor expect money for, but he anticipates anyway, and that can be irresponsible. So, anong gagawin niya? Uutang siya in hope na may darating, tapos walang dumating, nagkautang siya na nabaon siya sa utang. In other words, budgeting should be responsible while we are not contradicting trust in the Lord. If there is something that you see, for example, an opportunity, and you pray over it, it needs money in order for it to be addressed, and you pray to the Lord to provide the means so that that opportunity for ministry may be exercised, then that is one way of budgeting that puts trust in the Lord with money you hope will come, but not to the point of irresponsibility where you make expenses and take credit for something that may be unrealistic. There's always the principle that we must abide by when it comes to lifestyle, and that is live within your means or live as God has provided. If God has not provided it, then do not live a luxurious lifestyle that is not yours to live. In fact, I will not suggest anyone, even if they have the means, to live a luxurious lifestyle, but the principle applies to all. We live within our means. Tina.
Thank you, Pastor, for the lesson. This is a personal testimony po. Yung Malachi 3:10 po ay naging malaking part po sa pagbibigay ko po sa Panginoon. I was then a student when I became a member of a church, and it has always been part of the message po noong church na naging member po ako. It says in Malachi, will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. In your tithes and contributions, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. At first po, naging parang obligation po ito. Pero in a way po ay masasabi ko po na naging challenge din po sa akin as a Christian din. Na every time the offering plate or the offering ay dumadaan po sa akin, parang kahit wala, parang kung wala pong mai-offer dahil student pa nga lang po, parang Lord, yung self ko na lang po yung ibibigay ko out of gratitude dun po sa salvation blessing na na-receive ko po sa Kanya. And truly po, yun pong act of giving is as part of worship ng isa pong Kristiyano, ay na-impress din po sa akin, yun pong noon ay sinasabi din po na that you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Na yun nga po, in return po for the Lord reaching out to my soul, purchasing peace and heaven for me for eternity, ay kadugtong po doon yung kaninang verse na nakintal din po nun sa akin. What shall I render unto the Lord for His benefits towards me? And yun nga po, na-challenge din po ako noong time na mag-asawa po ako that I had to work to augment our family's income, na may mga times pa po noon na parang, Lord, kulang kasi hindi po ako makakapagbigay. Dumating po talaga, dumaan po kami doon. And ako personally, na sometimes gina-justify ko po sa Panginoon na, Panginoon, di po ako makakapagbigay sa'yo out of my income because of this and that, yun pong mga needs. And nun pong kinuha ng Panginoon si Jojo, mas lalo po na parang nandun po yung dilemma ko, how to sustain the family. And yet, nakita ko po doon yung faithfulness ng Panginoon na yung the just shall live by faith and living by faith pleases God. And that yung widow's mite, talagang ginamit po niya yon for me to obey Him, not just as my duty as a widow. At totoo po na hindi po niya, the Lord has not abandoned us, He has never forsaken us. And yun nga po, buhay na po, we are a living testimony of God's faithfulness in really providing for our needs as our faithful God. And truly po, ang isa din po na ginamit ng Panginoon ay yun pong Jesus Himself looks at my offering, not dun sa amount, but dun po sa, He looks at the heart of how we give, kahit po maliit lang yun. And yet, the Lord, yun nga po kanina na, the Lord honors yung po ating worshipful giving. It is not by my own power po, but by the prompting of the Spirit and by the grace of God alone. For in me, there is no goodness. Nothing in me yun pong may giving heart. And yet, it is only by His mercies, by His grace, that I have given to the Lord what is true Him. At kulang pa po, even my whole life, kulang pa po para maibigay ko sa Panginoon in, because He has been so faithful. And as part of my worship, ay talaga pong binabalik ko po sa Kanya yung pasasalamat at papuri. To God be the glory.
Okay, thank you, Tina. So doon sa Malakay 3, may sinabi rin, which is quite serious, that when the Lord said, "You have robbed me," and when the people ask, "How did we rob you?" And the answer is in tithes and offerings. It's either the distinction between tithes and offerings. Tithe is a fixed proportion of 10% of the Lord, of how the Lord has prospered you. But offering is on top of that, where you make a free will choice, a willing and deliberate choice of what to give on top of the proportion that is fixed by God's word. So when we fail to do that, then if you look at it in terms of sin, ay parang ninanakawan natin ng Diyos. Pero kung tingnan natin sa positibo, na winawalan mo ng pagpapala ang sarili mo. Sa pagpapala, maaring hindi lang sa material, kundi sa kung paano katustusan ng Panginoon sa mga bagay na hindi kayang bilhin ng pananalapi. So yan ang tinutukoy na tingnan natin yung pagbibigay sa usapin ng kasalanan ang hindi magbigay kung makapagbibigay naman, at kung hindi magbibigay, nawawala ang mga bunga ng pagpapala dahil sa hindi paggamit ng tungkulin na ibinigay ng Panginoon. Other thoughts? Brother from online.
How do we influence our children towards giving us worship?
Well, early on, you teach them and you give them the means. Ibig sabihin dun sa means na kung halimbawa may ipinagbabaon mo sila sa kanilang school, even early on, you have to tell them that part is to be an offering to the Lord. Of course, wala silang fixed income na kagaya natin. So, pero yung matatawag na ibinigay sa kanila, you need to teach them early the virtue of giving, the virtue of generosity. And that will not make it very hard to teach them the virtue of giving in the church. Other questions or thoughts, testimonies? Glenn, Brother Glenn. Deacon Glenn.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor, for reminding us for the there's really an art of giving tithes and offering. So as I when my younger years as a student, we tried our best really to give something because it's very very clear naman, it's really 10% an offering, then we give. Then once you have job, then you have less difficulty in giving as long as it's your priority, it's 10% or more. So the basic is 10%, then you add more if God has blessed you or makita mo, then you will learn the art of giving, not on the last part. So as early as possible when you are young, you are a student, how much you are given to you by your parents, you put something, a tax of it, which is 10%. Because once you have your job, you have to allocate for your tax, you have to allocate for your tithes and offering, because sometimes if we think that giving our tax also, or we are thinking that it's good for the government, they will just do corruption. It's the same as what we're doing with our tithes also. So give to Caesar what is for Caesar, and give to God what is for God. So my point is, be disciplined as you are young. Then once you grow older, as I'm already 40 years in the church, then you will have less difficulty because you have already that in mind. Thank you.
Thank you, Deacon Glenn. So you practice it as a discipline from early on. From the time that you learned of this principle, you already practice it. You don't wait. Many are trying to negotiate with God, you know. Ang sasabihin nila, Lord, if you prosper me in this venture, then I will give this much. If you prosper me here, I will give. That is not worship. Because God is God regardless of what happens to your business. And when you worship God, giving is part of worship. So it must be a discipline. And it is a good thing to know that it is not so much the absolute amount that is reckoned with as offering or as pleasing sacrifice, but rather the proportion. So in proportion to how you have earned, whether much or less, there must be something for giving. Practice it early on and do not negotiate with God. Last 2 points.
Mamayla. Good morning, everyone. Still an answer to the question provided earlier. I think one good practice to teach children, even when they are not yet Christians, to give offering is like what we are doing in the church once in a while, at least discuss this matter in the family, we have done. And I was surprised really that children see and watch what we do, because our youngest who is up there in one discussion happened to ask us, father and mother, because he doesn't see us putting directly in the bag. And then he would even ask me, because I'm not working and I'm not earning, how about you, Mama? How can you give offering? So I hope families would have time to discuss this matter also. And when they are young, we actually teach them the how to do it practically. And since they are receiving a little allowance from us, we help them budget. And yeah, and also through prayers, I am glad to say that I've seen at least Mikaya. I've seen how she is worshiping God even through her offering. And it is really a blessing to parents.
Thank you. Thank you, Myla. So, pag tinanong, how about your mama? Papa has the answer. but it is a good thing to teach this from childhood, especially take this note, especially as children do not yet know the potential of money. It's even wala pa, they still do not have that vulnerability to greed. They do not know what money can do. So you make it a practice for them at a very young age, so that even when they already have their own, the practice. Yan ang ginagawa ng discipline. What discipline does is you put it in practice, and when it becomes a discipline, you do it as a matter of practice. But of course, when you worship with freshness, but the practice that has been developed will help you in the act of giving. Last point. Last thought or questions, testimony. From our treasurer, Vic.
Good morning, pa. Pastor, I just like to ask. Of course, we know it's ikapo or 10% at least. But what if, say, for instance, you see a brother in need? Can you deduct 2% from that and give the 2% to your brother in need, or is the 10% really should it really be offered to the Lord? I mean, how about like...
Well, when you help someone in need, you are giving to the Lord. Well, sabi sa Proverbs na he who helps the poor lends to the Lord. And therefore, I am not one who... I came from churches with a fanatical position that tithing is only for the church. That's not my position. The tithe belongs to the Lord. But the tithe can be long to the Lord while you are giving it as an act of benevolence to others. For as long, of course, that you have your own allotted giving to the church. But it doesn't mean that the full tithe will have to go to the church. You can give the half of the tithe to benevolence. Then, so that's the 10% of your income. Then you have an offering that's 20%. That's fully given to the church. So that's good enough for me. but anyway, sana makita natin dito that what we need to refresh, this is very basic. As we think of financial matters, this has often been the cause of carnal quarrels in the church, in the household of God, and that should never be. And the right beginning is look at giving as an act of worship. Next Lord's Day, God willing, we will see how we are serving through giving. And that's still part of the basic of the theology of giving. Let's close in prayer. Our great God and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that we could review these things and refresh ourselves in the biblical teaching concerning giving, and grant that we may refresh the thought that giving is an act of worship. So help us, Lord, to not confine ourselves to inadequate notions or to false motives, but help us that in our worship we are expressing our thankfulness, we are exercising obedience, and we are extending the primacy of the place of worship. So help us, Lord, to be givers, because you have first given to us and we are responding only to your graciousness. So may our giving be an exercise of grace to your glory and to the profit of your kingdom. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.